Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. And every Wednesday, we are enlightened in the information that we don't want to hear, but we need to know from somebody who's been there, done that. J.C. Cole from New Jersey. Have you moved yet?
I have not moved, but I do have my running sneakers on.
I suggest you ditch the sneakers for a pair of boots. And don't you live at a horse farm?
Well,
just,
ride
the steed away.
Right. It was the proverbial. Right. Things are building up. Everybody can sense it. You know, your intuition is making you, I'd say, on edge and a little bit nervous, and you're trying to figure out why. So that's what we do. We dig deep into the information and see if we can put together what's going on, which comes up as we have talked for almost, I think, 4 weeks. Something looks to happen towards the end of September. And what I particularly do is I try to find a source that says it and look at that source as a template. And then I look for other templates and I stack the templates and see if they all kind of indicate the same thing. So I don't go to one source and I don't go to one area. For instance, let's say biblically, some guy's studying the Bible and it says it. Okay, that's biblical. Then I look for military. Then I look for, I always go to the engineering side, you know, to see the physics and the math. A very large amount of data is saying something happens on or around September the 24th. And now, even the top guys, they can't figure out what it is. Although I'm pretty sure somebody knows, and they're not going to tell us. You never tell the sheep that it's time for some bad news, right? Because the sheep scatter and run. Looks like between
for the record, sheep never scatter and run.
Okay, I'm missing my farming terms.
Yes.
Okay.
Sheep flock together when they're scared. Pigs, on the other hand, might scatter and run.
Right. I actually had that one time. I lent my sheep to another farmer. Except for he wasn't really a farmer. He was a landowner, and he had to have sheep so he could qualify for his farm land. Right. And so we're loading. I'm calling the sheep into the trailer. And so the first one comes in, and I didn't know how much this guy knew about sheep, but he smacked it on the rear end.
Mm.
And that was it.
It was over.
Oh, it was over. They went every which way. And it took me about 2 hours to catch them after that. And I don't have a dog that catches them.
They come in handy. You should maybe get one.
That's true. That's true. I have dogs. They're just not herding dogs.
Yeah. In fact, that reminds me, I need to get my herding dog to multiply.
Yes. I had a herding dog, natural German Shepherd, that just knew how to herd.
Really?
She was ripping. Yeah. She naturally just looked at me and goes, should I go for them? Yes, go get them. Right. Which was great. But anyway, so it looks like between September the 22nd to about the 25th or 26th, the fat lady may sing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that song is.
That they never told us that part. But remember what we said for a long time. We're in a clandestine war. That's the only thing you have to recognize. And when you're in a war, you do not ignore rumors. That doesn't mean believe the rumors, but you don't ignore them. You pay attention to them. And so we're picking up a whole bunch of different possibilities. We don't really want to go down the possibilities, but it looks like it's quite big.
Go ahead.
No. So everybody's aware that the tensions in Ukraine are building, mm-hmm. And the tensions between the U.S. and Russia are building, and the tensions between Britain and Russia are building. And that's one possibility. Also, our financial situation is a nightmare. That's another possibility.
In case you missed across the pond, I have a third possibility.
I did miss it. I was busy.
Waiting for me to get my act together and get this link to you. That's what you were doing. I have reason to believe that the Ukraine-Russia situation has been a distraction for all U.S. citizens. And I have come to that realization, JC, because I was contacted directly from someone in Venezuela, not directly, through somebody I know in the United States, somebody in Venezuela who used to be a part of the army, got information to me that the relationship between Venezuela and Hezbollah has exploded, and that they have even, you can find in Israeli Times, June 22nd, 2022, Maduro, and only his third ever foreign country visit, went to Iran, and they bragged about, they were starting on July 18th, direct flights from Caracas and Tehran were going to commence to promote tourism between the two countries. But what the person on the ground in Venezuela got news to me about was that they have been training operatives for Hezbollah, and they are getting them Mexican passports. I'm skipping a lot of steps, getting them Mexican visas to come and visit as tourists, with the direct plan to invade our southern border. And now, be very clear, nobody told this person who got me this information did not imply that that was the event for this week. I misled people, but I could see where that could possibly be. More concerning, JC, I now have gone back and researched. There have been subcommittees looking at the Hezbollah-Venezuela relationship. I found testimonies back to 2011. And who knew about this? And 70%, you take Iran, Venezuela, Colombia, Ecuador, and one other country. It doesn't matter. Oh, Bolivia. Those countries produce 70% of the world's cocaine, and 90% of what they produce is consumed in the United States. And they're using that money to build their arsenal to destroy the United States.
I would say that that's a very real possibility. As we have talked, we certainly see that there are powers in the U.S. trying to create, divide, and conquer. And force us into a civil war. And of course, a civil war would weaken us greatly and then create an opportunity to be invaded.
Oh, one other tidbit. And it came out in this meeting in Tehran in June. The impetus behind them creating a stronger tie between Venezuela and Iran, a 2018 sanction by Donald Trump.
I would say, what happens is we're watching chess moves and no one ever explains the chess move. And of course, we don't understand the big picture and we're being distracted just to keep our own head above water, especially after this, this 2-year lockdown debacle. So we have to pay, what I look at is we have to pay attention to everything that's been done and don't believe the reasons why it's been done. You know, it's like this mysterious lockdown, you know, for a reported disease that goes, what, 0.2 at the highest rate. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they're all playing together, all the pieces. And one of the things that I see, and I've watched for now 12 years, I was told this war in Ukraine, about this war in Ukraine 12 years ago. And that's why I left Eastern Europe.
And that's a baker's dozen. We'll be, oh, wait, that's my dozen, not the baker's dozen. We'll be back with more Roll Route J.C. Cole after this. Really, we're talking about keeping the lights on. Folks, I 100% support Cole. Look forward to being to the Lignite Energy Council annual convention next week in Bismarck. Get details about how important coal is to life. It's about powering life. Coal is Lignite.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside J.C. Cole. One other tidbit about the Venezuela-Iran relationship is that those two countries happen to have just a little bit of crude petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
And Venezuela happens to sit on top of the largest oil reserve in the world, they say, larger than the Bakken or anything in the Middle East. And ironically, this week that we're talking about so many things of impetus happening, you forwarded a note last night that we have a oil refinery in the United States. Was it in Ohio?
Yes, it was in Ohio.
That kind of went boom yesterday.
Yeah, it caught on fire. Suspicious, you know? They don't know what caused the fire. Boy, if I owned a refinery, I'd be putting cameras, tripling up my security. I'd be doing all kinds of things because it's obvious that there's a clandestine attack on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And now I can't say the entire chess game is about oil, but that certainly, or energy, but that certainly is, one of the important parts to it. This whole thing in Syria, you know, most people don't know that in the Golan Heights is one of the largest oil finds, in the Middle East. The Golan Heights was taken by Israel during the Six-Day War. It's disputed territory. Under UN rules, you're not allowed to excavate for minerals in disputed areas. You know, so all you have to do is look. You know, the U.S. military is in Syria, claiming that they're fighting for the rights of somebody. Right. But really what they're doing is stealing the oil from the Syrians. Right. And that's pretty well documented. And all you have to do is look up a company called Genie Oil, spelled like, you know, I dream of Genie, Genie Oil. And you will find that they got the right from Israel, who doesn't have the right, to take the oil out of the Golan Heights. And that the owners of Genie Oil happen to be Rothschild, Murdoch, Cheney, one of the former heads of the CIA, Richardson, the former Secretary of Energy, and a few Israelis. So the people that sent us to war after 9/11 are the people who are reaping the benefit of stealing the oil, all being guarded by the U.S. military. Hey, this is all proven.
You do date yourself when you say I spelled like I dream of Genie, right? You know that.
Yes, I do. Right. Yes.
Well, right, what do we do about that knowledge?
Well, part of the knowledge is to you know, recognize it and realize we're being lied to across the board on almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this war in Syria, the president of Syria had like a 90% voting rate for his people, and you know, so I had one of my liberal friends go, how dare Putin invade a sovereign country. I go, have you looked at Syria? How about Yemen? Right? We're invading sovereign countries right and left. You know, that's a hypocrisy. And so anyway, it all looks,
it's still my greatest frustration, JC, and you just touched the nerve, is that reasonably intelligent individuals who can accomplish anything in life they want to completely fall prey to the nonsense that they are told because they watch some mainstream media outlet every single day without critically thinking about what they just said themselves.
Right. Our critical thinking has been turned off. And if you actually go back to old John D. Rockefeller, he said it very clearly. He goes, I don't want a country of thinkers. I want a country of workers. And the whole thing, and the dumbing down of our education, the whole thing is linked to creating us like basically, you know, zombie workers.
Well, it's what Klaus Schwab brings to the forefront every time he speaks. We want you to own nothing and be happy. We want you to be like Asians. I mean, he frequently says that.
Yeah, that's accurate. And so we're watching a battle going on, and we're seeing the evidence, and we don't have a paradigm that explains it to us. Right. And oftentimes when you don't have that paradigm, you ignore the evidence. Right. And the evidence is very clear. It's saying we're in a clandestine World War III at the moment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of evidence is indicating it's going to go hot. And at that point, everybody's going to, the sheep will scatter. Oh, I did it again. I'm sorry. Will flock and run. And so we have constantly said, look, get ready, you know, get things in your control. Don't believe what they say. Watch what they do. Right. And now apparently some dates are coming up and it looks like it can get it can go hot now. So there'll be triggering events. Right. And I don't know I don't know which one will happen. There may be a few of them, but we know that the stock market is in deep trouble. We know that the almost no stock is related to its value. We know that we have a stunning amount of debt that we can't even comprehend that has to go away somehow. What else do we know? We know that we're having very much tension between Russia and China. And that China controls a good amount of our supply chain, especially for the farmers.
And medical supplies.
And medical supplies.
And medical supplies. We are so dependent upon China. It's unreal.
Yes. And the only thing I can say that we're able to do, especially for the farmers, is you can start a herbal garden and get the books, the knowledge base, so that you can read up on them, because you don't want to start from zero if the system breaks, and get ready. So we know something will happen. We also know that there are good guys behind the scenes. They can't come and tell us. So this battle is going on. Right? It's a chess move. A chess game. The queen has been taken off the board.
Yeah. Right. I'd like you to submit the roster to me so that I know who's on the A team and who's on the B team.
Well, I don't think the A team wants to be identified at the moment, right? And we, and we are the B team, Trent. All right. We are the B team. Yeah. The farmers and the truckers. And that's why we keep on saying, hey, you know, stock up, get ready. Mm-hmm. You know, the fuel and of course, you know, guns and ammo and a few other things, food and medicine and seeds. And so because the battle is forming, the battle lines are forming. And they want, and they keep on coming out and telling you the opposite. Like, look, just watch what the administration is saying. And so you're like, okay, they just said all MAGA Trump supporters are semi-terrorists. What's a semi-terrorist? It's kind of like an assault weapon. Assault is a verb. How can an assault rifle, how can a verb be applied to a animate object? Anyway, that's just
again, none of that matters if you're a critical thinker.
Right, exactly. So it has to, go to critical thinking and digging deep. And what's happening in Ukraine, if the rumors are correct, the Chinese just brought in troops into Ukraine to back up the Russians. So if that's correct, and also you have the number one nuclear power in the world, weapon-wise, Russia, and the number three nuclear power in the world, China, in the battle zone in Ukraine. And now there are also rumors that the Americans and the Brits have been giving military supplies to the Ukrainians, but the Ukrainians don't have the skill set to use them.
I got a skill set, and it's not very good. Roll route, second half, just ahead. I'm happy to report that tonight I'll be attending and speaking on behalf of Protect the Harvest, actually, at the Lincoln County Cattlemen's Meeting. North Platte, Nebraska has become a focal point because of the new proposed packing plant. We talked about that yesterday. But Protect the Harvest every day gets you information to empower it yourself, because at the end of the day, we all need to be free, we need to be fed, and there are forces against us. ProtectTheHarvest.com.
Day
before my father was born.
Yeah, so tomorrow is September the 22nd, which is 9-11-11-11-11. That's if you're into 11s. So we left off where the United States and Britain have been giving a lot of military supplies to Ukraine, and that these are high technical supplies that take years to learn. So the Ukrainians can't really control them. So it looks like NATO is sending in NATO troops to run the machinery. So you've got Americans, Brits, and probably some French, and probably some Israelis. So you've got the second largest nuclear power in the world, plus probably, number 6, 7, and 8 in there, all on the same battlefield with the Russians and the Chinese. Now, and Putin came out, I think it was last night, and said, we will use nuclear weapons to defend, our country. And this is not, he's not joking. He actually said something along that lines. And,
Yeah, we actually had a piece from The Guardian that Putin had said everything that you just said. Plus, he was talking about there would be an election in those Russian territories.
Correct. And so really what this is a remnant of World War II, because this all came about, this tension, because of Stalin. Stalin mixed up all of the nationalities underneath the Soviet Union and put them in the different countries. So you have a percentage of ethnic Russians, some have lived there for 50 or 60 years, that are in Ukraine. And obviously the territory closest to Russia will have the highest percentage. So what ended up happening, and this is all proven, the State Department neocons, who literally hate the Russians, funded the overthrow of the elected president of Ukraine, Yushchenko, and put in their puppet. And that puppet started to ethnically cleanse Ukrainian citizens who were ethnic Russian. And Putin had to go in to stop it. right? And by the way, this is there's an example today of Estonia. Now, Estonia is only about 1.3 million people, not particularly big. And their Russian ethnic mix is about 10%. So the Estonian government is proposing a bill to confiscate firearms from Russians. They're going to have a very difficult time to confiscate them from Estonian citizens that are ethnically Russian, right? But there are some Russians living in Estonia, right, that are not necessarily citizens. So they're going to confiscate confiscate the firearms from them. Well, history shows that that never really worked out well for the people who had their guns confiscated. That's one. But then, stunningly enough, so they've got their whole cabinet pushing this law, and then they said, well, it applies to like 670 people. And so you have this question: you mean that the Estonian military is so weak and so cowardly that they're afraid of 670 citizens with guns?
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, this is to provoke the Russians one more time right over the border. You're de-arming our people so they can't defend themselves. Right. And so, you know, and Latvia will be an even bigger problem because 30% of the people in Latvia, which is about 2 million, are ethnic Russians. And even more so, 60% of their cities are ethnic Russians. They'll lose their capital city if they want to start a fight with the Russians.
So explain to me I got a pretty good handle on rural and urban America and the thought process between rural folks versus those who live in New York or even Chicago. How is that different in Latvia? I'm using Latvia as just a different part of the world, a part of the world that is involved in all of this.
Well, it's more challenging because you've got separations by both religion and ethnicity. So, for instance, and it changes for these three tiny little countries. You would think that, you know, it'd be like Maryland, Delaware, and maybe Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they're totally different. The Lithuanians and the Latvians have a common root of their language. And the two most predominant factors that create our belief systems, this is the whole thing. We're arguing, we're looking at a conflict of belief systems. But the two most common, let's say, factors that form the belief systems are, one, your language, and two, your religion. All right. So the Latvians and the Lithuanians share what's called the Baltic root, which they're the only two. Their language goes back all the way to Sanskrit, and it's very, very old. And they don't understand each other. If you speak Latvian to a Lithuanian, maybe one word in 100 will be similar. Okay, so that's how old that is. And then the Estonians are actually the Finno-Hungarian language. There are only three countries that speak it: Hungary, Finland, and Estonia. Right? And the Estonians can understand the Finns. The Finns can half understand the Estonians, and nobody can understand the Hungarians as far as that language group. Okay, so you have two of them. You have two of them on one language tree and the third on the other. And now, if you look, the Lithuanians are predominantly Catholic. The Latvians and the Estonians are predominantly Lutheran. And then the remnants from being next to Russia, roughly the Russian, ethnic Russians are Russian Orthodox Christian. So you've got this mix, right? And because of Stalin, you have all kinds of extras in there. You have Ukrainians in Latvia. You have people from Azerbaijan. You have the stands, Tajikistan or Kazakhstan. You've got this real mix all over. So it's very hard to say, what's the ethnic difference between rural and city. Mm-hmm. For instance, in Latvia, Riga, the capital, it's about 60 to 65% ethnic Russian.
I guess my question was more geared towards, in particular, food, but I'm very much generalizing, and everybody knows that. But if you live in Denver, you tend to be more conforming to things that are going to be available to you, as opposed to that if you live in Morgan County, Colorado, you got to go make it happen for yourself. Does that same thought process exist in this part of the world?
Actually, in Eastern Europe, I don't think so. I think what happened.
I assumed that was not, because I made the assumption because this war that you're talking about, pre the clandestine war we're in now, is still fresh on their mind. I mean, they're one generation from it.
Correct. Yeah.
And that generation's still here, by the way, and they're telling the stories of what things were like. So I assume there was not as a glaring of a difference between the mindset between someone who lives in Riga, and which I didn't know existed before you came into my life, by the way, and somebody who lives in rural Latvia.
Yeah, I would say it's not between the city and the rural. It's between the ethnicities of the different
groups. That's what I was trying to get at, and that makes total sense. But the other thing that you walked us through there is that in this part of the world, those are all Christian folks, whether they're Catholic or Lutheran, or I don't know if there's any Methodist.
Well, there's also going all the way back, and this is what part of the fight is that there are Eastern European Jews. And there's a percentage. Mm-hmm. I don't know how big the percentage is. And that relates back to this fight in Ukraine. This goes all the way back to the Khazarian kingdom, the Russians and the Turks apparently defeated in about 700 AD, I think it was. And that the Jews of Eastern Europe don't have a homeland. And so the homeland of the Khazarians is Ukraine and Kazakhstan.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do, because I have 40 seconds. I no longer have 40 seconds. I have 30 seconds. When we come back, I want you to put a parallel into how what all of this ethnic diversity in the former Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, means to where we are today, September 21, 2022, in the United States of America. Then that's where we'll pick it up with J.C. Cole, and we return after this. When I have, over the years, shared the information, because people want to be critical of nitrates, people want to be critical of estrogen, I'll tell people that you're worried about your bacon or your ham because it's cured and it might have nitrates, but you flock to eating leafy greens because leafy greens are the highest level of nitrate possible. And you know what the first question that person always asks me? How do they get them in there, Nathan?
Well, they're cured, right? They're cured vegetables. And vegetables actually cure many diseases. So just like your bacon's cured, I wrote a paper called Nitrite, the Cure for Chronic Disease. So just like nitrate cure meat and prevent, lipid oxidation and prevent, food spoilage and bacterial infections or bacterial overgrowth in the food, they do the same thing to us. They cure a lot of things because they improve nitric oxide, they improve oxygenation, they prevent oxidation, inflammation, and immune dysfunction.
You want to live a cured life? Take a nitric oxide supplementation every day like I do. NO2U.com. It's NO2U.com. Put Trend as your coupon code and you win big favors because you get free shipping and a 10% discount. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside J.C. Cole. J.C.'s joining us from New Jersey by choice. He, mm-hmm. he could leave. Just wanted to point out one more time as I revert back to some notes that I made. 2018, we as a nation become energy independent and an exporter of oil. That same year, the White House and Donald Trump places sanctions on Venezuela and Iran, which causes them to team up. And since that period of time, we've lost our energy independence.
You go right back to Kissinger, who, by coincidence, is an Eastern European Jew. So is Madeleine Albright.
So apparently all that stuff you were just talking about matters.
Yes. Yes. And if you look at Biden's administration, something like 20-30% of it is Eastern European Jew ethnicity.
Really? Who's pointed that out before?
I think it was Robert David Steele, if I'm not mistaken. Right. And so it's not saying, it's not Judaism. Judaism is, you know, most of my friends that are Jewish are incredible people. It's the leaders that are hiding behind Judaism. So let's get to a couple of points in history, because we touch on it each time. And September the 21st, 1922, President Warren Harding, who's almost nobody remembers, signs a joint solution of approval to establish a Jewish homeland in Palestine. You go, wait a minute. What's the president of the United States doing establishing a homeland in a foreign country? And of course,
that's a great question.
Yeah. And you go back to the Balfour Declaration between Britain and the Rothschilds in 1917, which was the same thing. Just look up the Balfour Declaration. It was a document. And it basically meant that the Rothschilds would fund the British during World War I if the British promised to give them Palestine. So this is going back hundreds of years.
Wait a minute. September 21st, 1922 is exactly 100 years ago today.
Yeah. Uh-oh, time to go. Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, okay, right. So here's another one, okay, which is kind of maybe apropos for this time. September 22, 1692, okay, so that's going back, right? Masked people were hung for witchcraft in Salem. Yes, that was the last hanging for the witches. You know, Trent, I got the feeling that might come back.
Yeah, I got a feeling I could be deemed a witch.
Right. Or maybe just treason for the witches and you get hung or shot. Okay. But there is some good news. Good news. September the 23rd, 1779. John Paul Jones boarded aboard the U.S. Bonhomme, Richard, defeats the British frigate Serapis, right, and becomes the first United States naval hero. And if you recall from the history, they had a tough battle, and they lashed together, and the British captain asked for Jones to surrender, and he said, "I have just begun to fight." Mm. Right.
And oh, I like that.
We have just begun to fight. And what ended up happening was it was a terrible battle. They said 50% of both sides of the seamen were killed, but that the Americans took over the British ship, and unfortunately the American ship sunk, but John Paul Jones captured the British ship and took it back to France. So yeah, the Americans were just beginning to fight. The real Americans, not the rogue group that has captured part of our government.
Yeah, there's plenty of those as well.
Yeah.
Do you believe there to be any truth to the fact that we see reports that people are vacating D.C. this week?
I had heard that. And that's one of those things, you know, don't ignore rumors. So D.C., actually, if you look into D.C. and the development of the city, it was mostly influenced by Albert Pike, who was the top Masonic poobah, and that D.C. is a demonic setup. And anybody who looks into that, they'll see that. And so it seems that if humanity is going to survive, that D.C. has to go away. And, you know, they've been hiding this in plain sight. And so anybody who researches finds out that D.C. is the military arm. The City of London is the financial arm, and the Vatican is the religious arm. And they all just simply, they all have basically phallic symbols in their territory. That's the Washington Monument. That's the Needle of Cleopatra. And I think it's called the Pine Cone in the Vatican. And so these are all demonic symbols. I'm not making this up. Just do a research on it and you'll find it.
You know what just hit me? Because since my first trip to D.C., which now has been quite a while, but I've always told people that an absolute must see is Arlington National Cemetery, because you can just feel a spirit of sacrifice, a spirit of people who love country so much to give up their life. You know, it never dawned on me until this moment, and you walked through this, that Arlington National Cemetery is not in Washington, D.C. It's in Virginia.
Yeah, it's out of the river in Arlington.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the river. But yet everybody lumps it in to be a part of D.C. It's not actually in D.C. D.C. is separate.
Right. And so literally, you know, we go back to what Edgar Casey said. The hope for humanity rests with the Russians. And he said it when it was the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And so now the Russians are not the Soviet Union. And now the majority of coming, going back to Russian Orthodox Christian.
It's not a German Shepherd barking.
It's half husky. Right. We had two huskies in German Shepherd clothing.
That's funny. Impersonating a German Shepherd.
Right.
Or impersonating a husky, whatever the case may be. All right, so we got a lot of wild information this week. We're in the final 3 minutes. What's the most important take home?
Okay, so this is it. Look, things are getting real. Look at the rumors, and you've got to make your own decisions. But I recommend storing up your food, more silver while you can get it, water, be able to purify water. And we see this like what happened in Jackson, Mississippi, right? Physical cash, even though the dollar is going to have trouble physically, cash will be important if the electricity goes out. Fuel, right? And of course, the ability to protect it, right? And I like this saying, we inherit the sins of our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're inheriting a lot of them. But also there's the follow-up to that. We endow our sins to our children and grandchildren. So we better take care of the sins that we created now. Otherwise, they get them.
So my loose tails today, which I think is related to everything that we're talking about here, is over the weekend in Grand Island, Nebraska, which is 50 miles from me, three semi-loads of beef were stolen. 2 weeks ago in Iowa. By the way, all of these are towns with JBS plants. I don't know if there's a relevance, just significant. There's a semi-load of pork stolen. But what did I want to bring up is the three semi-loads of beef that literally somebody must have just backed into this cold storage unit, one that I've personally used myself, and hooked onto a semi-load of beef and tuck them.
Yeah, and you know, we're going. Actually, that's another thing, is increase your security. I mean, you can do it inexpensively. You know, I immediately put in a camera system around our farm. And, of course, don't tell people.
I won't. But what I wanted to get to is, do you know what each load of those that beef was worth?
No, actually, how much is a load of beef?
$250,000 per semi.
Right. Now, there's an issue for New Yorkers to pay attention to. Right. If our banking system goes down, how are you going to pay the ranchers for the $250,000 worth of beef? Because they're not going to send it to you without some form of guarantee.
Yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, you have to set that up now before the system breaks. And by the way, if you look, there are a whole bunch of ammo stolen, or numerous times being stolen in North Carolina.
That'll do it. And what my biggest concern about that beef story is now it's all over the news that each load of beef is worth $250,000. If you're driving a semi anywhere in the United States loaded with food, you're subject to being hijacked. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to precipitate the problem. I'm trying to bring awareness to what's going on. We're over time. We've journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. J.C. Cole, Trent Luce, both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route. With all the chaos in the world, we need something that is calming, and that is the Lone Creek Cattle Company experience to be a part of the brand of beef program called Certified Piedmontese, because it's based upon tangible benefits. Tenderness is an aspect that is always going to be important to the consumer. It's always important to the system. And tenderness will be a driver no matter what happens in the food supply. Get details about how you can be a part of the supply chain for Certified Piedmontese on the web, LoneCreekCattleCo.com.